So we hear in this gospel a very challenging, even scary thing. Man, so much of, how many times have I said that lately? This is scary. But it is. It often is. And why? I don't know. But the Lord is always calling us out into the deep. Peter's walking on water. James and John are following him to the cross. Man, is it ever going to get easier? Maybe when we're in heaven. It'll be easier then. But the joy of doing all of these things with Jesus makes them, though difficult, so joyful. And something that you wouldn't want to miss out on. And James and John know that, even though they don't know everything, they know, I want to be close to Jesus. I don't want to miss out on him because there's joy there. So they say, Lord, let us be with you in your glory, one at your right and one at your left. Lord, we want to win with you. And when you win, we want to be right close to you. We want to sing Hail to the Victors. We want to go into Spartan Stadium and crush their dreams and hopes and just take all their stuff and just go back to Ann Arbor. And Jesus, he says, actually, you will. You will. You will go in there. You will defeat the enemy. You will sing Hail to the Victors, a song which I only like to sing when Michigan loses. And you'll have that experience of victory and that experience of glory. To desire to be glorified with Christ is not a selfish, evil desire. It's not. It's God-given. Now, it can be expressed or desired in a way that is prideful or disordered because we want to avoid suffering or avoid the cross or avoid the shame that comes with it. But we can't be glorified with Christ if we're not also on the cross with Christ. The Lord says, yeah, you're gonna sing Hail to the Victors, but you know what? You're also going to have sometimes where Michigan's going to come into your home turf. In your home turf, and they're just going to trounce you. And then they're going to go back to Ann Arbor and take all your stuff, especially that one statue that we really like. And you're going to have those days where it seems as though God has lost. On the cross, many people at the moment, at the time, would have been really confused and disconcerted and said, "What? Why is this happening? This doesn't make any sense." Well, now if we think about it and we think, yeah, of course that happened. That was the victory. It just didn't feel like victory at the time. And the Lord is saying, you know what? There's going to be times of trial. But he does say to them, you will drink the cup that I drink. Which is incredible because when Jesus says this, so they say, Lord, we want to be at your right and your left in your glory. Jesus says, you do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism that I am going to be baptized. He's talking about, there's different cups in Scripture. One is the cup of God's blessing. Another is the cup of God's wrath and the punishment for sin. And the weight of sin was on Jesus on the cross. And so when he says, you're going to drink the cup of suffering that I drink, that's a very profound statement. And he doesn't mean that the apostles are going to pay the price for the sins of all mankind. Only he can do that. But he does mean that they also will be able, and we are invited, to join with him in making of ourselves an offering for the salvation of souls. You've probably heard something like that said before, maybe many times, that your life, that you are called to be an offering for the salvation of souls. There's one Savior. We can already check that box, right? But he invites us to take up our cross and follow him. He invites us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. He invites us to do everything that we have, or everything that we can do, and all, use all that we have to work for the salvation of souls. When the martyrs died, and when especially James and John here, they do, James dies as a martyr. They do make of their lives an offering, even to the point of James being killed. Why? He was participating with Jesus in the salvation of souls. Jesus doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us in helping others to come into his kingdom and helping others to come to belief in him, to come into relationship with him. And so, the invitation to us that the Lord is extending is if we really want to be glorified with him. He's saying, okay, if you really want to be glorified with me, I will share that cup of suffering and of glory and of trial and of triumph with you. But I make of myself an offering for the salvation of others, and I'm inviting you to do the same. Not in the same way, right? Not in the exact same way, but in the way that you love, in the way that you forgive, in the way that you serve others, in the way that we have the ability to make everything that we do today serve the salvation of souls. Is this helping someone get to heaven? Or if I could do this, would this help someone get to heaven? If I could forgive my brother, would it help him get to heaven? Probably. Like, yes. No, the answer is just yes. Okay? If I could try to reconcile with him, would it help him get to heaven? Again, yes. If I do that, is it going to cause suffering on my part? Maybe again, yes. I don't know. There's all these... If I don't do this and instead I do this, well, why would I do something? Anything, just a given decision. The Lord is saying, I'm inviting you to participate in this mission, to make of yourself an offering, like a gift. And I'm going to use Eucharistic Prayer 3 today, which it's only one little sentence, but there's this one little sentence that where we ask that we would be made an offering, a gift to the Lord. That everything that we have is a gift from him. And we want to give it, we want to offer it, so that other people would also attain salvation, would also know Jesus, would also come to follow him. That is what it means to come up and also to receive from the chalice. It's the chalice that we receive at Mass, the chalice of salvation. The Lord's grace poured out for you and me. I don't know if it's technically referred to as the cup of blessing, but the chalice of salvation, that we receive God's grace and the grace to joyfully join with him as we make of ourselves an offering. Everything that we do all day long, except the times when we forget and the times when we need to rest, and the times when we need to watch some football. But everything that we do is really oriented toward bringing other people to heaven. That's what we're here for. That's why we were made. We're designed to make of ourselves a gift. We're designed to be for others. And so the Lord invites us to do that. He invites us to do that with everything that we're doing, for that to be the goal of all of it.